Hi, this is the voice, Michael Schiavello. You're listening to the Premium Oddscast, hosted by leading MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas, fight scientist and author of Fightnomics, Reid Kuhn, and MMA journalist Brian Heminger. The absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com.
Welcome to the Premium Oddscast, presented by Five Dime Sportsbook. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC Fight Night 125 event, which takes place in Belém, Brazil. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, we won 1.25 units for UFC on Fox 27 after going 1-1 on our premium bets. We also won our 1-unit free bet on Andre Feely. Back to the present, UFC Fight Night 125 features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on UFC Fight Pass, Fox Sports 2, and Fox Sports 1 this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking off the fight card on UFC Fight Pass is a women's strawweight contest between Maya Stevenson, who is 6-4, and Pollyanna Viana, who is 9-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up on Viana, minus 270, the comeback on Stevenson at plus 190. Looking over at fivedimes.eu, our sponsored sportsbook right now over Five Dimes, Viana is minus 370, the comeback on Stevenson is at plus 310. So action coming in Viana's way, laying the chalk on the favorite. A lot of parlays coming into Five Dimes as well on this. Not really that surprised. Viana's like the popular, hyped prospect. I mean, she's only, I believe, 26 years old or so. And, you know, there's been some buzz around her for a long time, anticipating her UFC debut potentially, because a lot of people, like I said, legit prospect out there. A lot of people consider her that. And she is. I mean, if you look at some of the film that she has out there against weaker competition overall, so we got to point that out right away. So the level of competition she's faced in general hasn't really been that high, but she's been pretty impressive. She has a Muay Thai background, also jiu-jitsu background as well, so she can beat you up standing. She's very aggressive on the feet, very powerful as well. And then if she gets you on the ground, I think she excels on the ground even more so. Now, her wrestling is not that great, so she's going to have to improve in that area to get the takedowns and get the fight to the floor. But she's kind of has some sneaky ways of getting the fight to the floor, like dragging you down, tripping you down as well. Or she's opportunistic. If you make a mistake, she might hop on your back or pull guard on you as well and try to submit you on the ground. And once she does have you on the ground, though, she's very aggressive, whether she's on her back or from top position as well. I mean, she looks for the kill. She's looking to submit you, get you in a bad spot, or even drop some bombs on you, ground and pound. So she's one of these wild, aggressive fighters, but at the same time has some technical skill as well. And she's very tough to deal with. I mean, as far as getting her out of there, as far as chin goes, she has a very solid chin. Her cardio seems to be okay as well. So she's a tough out. So this is why she's getting all that respect from the bettors out there. And I understand it, but I think they're counting out Stevenson a little bit here. Stevenson, of course, we all know she's from the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, she, recent season, I believe it was tough 26 or whatnot, the tournament. And, she ended up losing on that show. She got subbed, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But that being said, you know, she's more of a striking-based fighter as well. And she lost to the eventual, I guess, finalist in Eubanks. And Eubanks then, of course, gets a fight in the finals, but that's for another time. So Stevenson herself, so she lost to a very legit competitor on the show, and she got beat on the ground. And overall, she's a striker boxer. That's what her background is. Of course, she's married to Joe Stevenson, so she has, and Joe Stevenson, as you all know, is a grappling-based fighter more so than anything else. So she does have some really good experience on the ground. She's developing her ground game overall as well. So she's okay, but she still has that, I think, I don't know, at times, lackluster defense to say on the ground. I mean, she definitely needs to improve things. She needs to tighten up that sub D for sure, because on the ground with Viana, she's going to be in some serious trouble. But overall, if she could keep this fight standing, Stevenson's boxing is very good. It's very technical. She has some power behind her punches as well. And I think she's going to find her spots on the feet to give Viana some problems. Cause if any flaws that I've seen in Viana's game so far, it's her strike defense. I mean, she is wild and aggressive, like I said, on the feet, but she does leave some holes in her game. And I think Stevenson's boxing is technical enough that she can exploit those holes and be competitive, at least on the feet, and maybe even win some of those striking exchanges along the way. But I think what's going to happen here, Viana's eventually going to take over the fight, be aggressive, get the fight to the ground, and probably finish off Stevenson. So the pick is Viana. I think where the line is right now, it's probably a little bit too overinflated, but I do expect her to win the fight. So it's tough to say it's a dog or pass situation in this spot. So the pick is Viana to win.
And while I agree that Viana has some shaky opponents during her run in Brazil and jungle fights and everything, I mean, she did beat a couple quality opponents. So she did get tested. I mean, there's one girl that her only loss is to Viana, and Viana knocked her out. I mean, Viana has legit power at 115 pounds. So that's something to be excited about. There aren't a lot of girls, especially small girls, that can really do some damage with their hands. And Viana is one of those fighters. So that being said, Stevenson's biggest strength is on the feet. So if it stays standing, I see Stevenson potentially being able to outwork Viana, but Viana can make up for that with her power. But if this fight goes to the ground, that's the big, big difference. Stevenson is not strong on the canvas. Viana is very good from top position with ground and pound. She's good with getting it to the floor if she needs to, and she has a pretty above average submission game. So overall, Viana is just the more well-rounded of the two, and Viana is clearly the more dangerous. I mean, the only way Stevenson wins is if this stays standing and she outpoints Viana over the course of three rounds. But Viana could knock Stevenson out. Viana might be able to outwork Stevenson, although that's unlikely on the feet, and win a decision there. And Viana could just take Stevenson down and win it on the scorecards, or Viana could take Stevenson down and TKO her with ground and pound or get a submission. So, I mean, the paths to victory are through the roof for Viana. So I just really like her here. I think she's a legitimate prospect, and she's somebody worth potentially getting excited about in the women's strawweight division. So Viana is my pick. Now moving up to the men's flyweight division, we have Davison Figueiredo, who is 13-0, taking on Joseph Morales, who is 9-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA odds maker's perspective on this one?
I'm in Figueiredo minus 165, the comeback of Morales at plus 125. Right now, looking over five times, it's Figueiredo minus 150, the comeback of Morales is at plus 130. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. Two-way action is coming into this fight. I'll tell you what, you have the battle of prospects here for sure. I know that Figueiredo is 30 years old, so he's getting on the older side of the prospect, sort of say, level. But at the same time, he is, because in MMA years, he's still a little young. I mean, he's only 13-0, undefeated, and he's put on some really solid performances thus far in the UFC, especially his last one. I mean, that Brooks win that he had was very impressive, because a lot of people were touting Brooks as a future title contender at 125 pounds. So for Figueiredo, even though it was a close fight, I mean, for him to come in there and pull off an upset over a guy like Brooks with his wrestling pedigree and everything that he brings to the table, that's a very solid win. Figueiredo's a very complete fighter. He could beat you up standing. He's got real knockout power in the feet. He mixes things up well. His sub game and his ground game is actually pretty lethal as well. Of course, I think he needs to keep on improving. And, you know, obviously all aspects of the game get a little bit more technical. He does tend to get a little bit wild sometimes as well, and that could leave some holes in his game, and he's hittable on the feet. So he needs to tighten things up a little bit and keep working, but he's the type of guy that does seem to get better fight by fight as well. He can grind you out. He can beat you in all aspects of the game. So he's very tough, and I'm surprised that they're matching Morales up with him, honestly, because Morales is another serious prospect. He's even younger. He's 23 years old. So in my opinion, he's a real genuine prospect here, and he's such a well-rounded fighter. He's been training at Team Alpha Male with Uriah Faber and crew for a long time, since he was a teenager. So the guy has been around just championship caliber fighters, and he's picked up all good traits from them. I mean, he's such a well-rounded fighter. He can beat you up standing. He has precision type of striking with knockout power, underrated knockout power. If you look at this guy, you wouldn't think, ah, the guy hits like a, you know, a pretty hard type of hitter, a heavy hitter at this weight class or whatever. You wouldn't necessarily think that, but he does. And it's his precision, it's his accuracy, everything you want to say about him. I mean, he's definitely one to watch on the feet as well. And then if he gets you on the ground, I mean, he excels on the ground as well. He's got a sneaky sub game. He's kind of long for the weight class at times as well. In most matchups, he will be at least. So I think that Morales is just a tough out for a lot of people, and he's a heck of a finisher. So I think he's got a legit shot here, even though Figueiredo is tough to finish. I think he has to be cautious here, because Morales is the type of fighter that is such an aggressive and I think, has that killer instinct that he can finish a fight against most people. So this is going to be a war. It's going to be a back and forth battle here. I expect Morales to have a little bit of an edge, I think, overall, and he is a little bit more of the dangerous finisher, I think, out of the two here. Even though Figueredo has, you know, quite a few finishes on his resume, I think the way they match up, I think Morales' defense is a little bit tighter, and I think he's going to be able to exploit some of those holes I was talking about in Figueredo's game as well. So this is a tough, tough fight. I could realistically see it going either way. Like I said, I love the matchup because it's going to be a really competitive fight. It should be one of the fight of the night candidates for sure, but I have to slightly lean towards a younger prospect here in Morales. Now, he's going to be in enemy territory, of course. I mean, the fans are definitely going to get behind Figueredo, so we'll see how this young gun approaches this fight and how he takes everything in. So I do think it's a dog or pass situation, though. It's going to be such a close fight. You don't want to lay chalk in this spot. So it's a dog or pass, and my pick is actually going to be Morales to pull off the slight upset.
Got a battle of unbeatens here, and both guys are extremely dangerous and very promising young fighters. Figueredo is slightly more well-rounded, but I think Morales might be more dangerous. You gotta remember, Morales made his UFC debut against a very, very talented fighter in Roberto Sanchez. And while Sanchez got an early takedown, when Morales got back to his feet, he blasted Sanchez with some heavy hands and then eventually was able to get a rear naked choke and finish the fight. So, that's something you have to put into to consider is the fact that Morales has good power on the feet. He's capable on the ground. And that's something that Figueredo is going to have to keep in mind at all points. While Figueredo, I think he mixes it up a little bit better. He throws a few more kicks. Potentially he could stay on the outside a little better. And he has picked up some quality wins already in the UFC as well. With the win, especially in his last fight over Jarrett Brooks, getting that close decision. The one thing, though, is Brooks got a lot of takedowns in that fight. I mean, it could have clearly gone the other way. It was a close fight. So, you know, I think while Figueredo did get the win, I mean, that it wasn't the best performance out of Figueredo. And he's definitely going to have his hands full here with Morales. I mean, Morales is a threat with his hands. Morales is an above average grappler, so I don't think Figueredo will have a huge edge there in that department. And Morales, you know, training on a Team Alpha Male is only going to be getting better. I mean, he's young at 23 years old, and when you have those really young fighters, and Figueredo's young too. I mean, well, he's not that young at 30. But I think the sky is the limit here with Morales. Like, this guy could be a future contender someday. And my only concern is that they're matching these two guys up a little early in their career. I mean, you hate to see two undefeated prospects duke it out, like, in their very early in their UFC run. Usually UFC waits a little bit later when they're potentially knocking on the door for contendership. But, I mean, this is definitely going to be a really good test for both guys. But I'm leaning Morales. I think that he has a little bit more potential than Figueredo. And I think that he's a little bit more dangerous, especially with his power. And if this stays standing, Morales' hands could be the what puts him over the edge here. So my pick is going to be Joseph Morales as well. Now, kicking off the Fox Sports 2 prelims, we have a bantamweight contest between veterans Yuri Alcantara, who is 34-9 with one no contest, and Joe Soto, who is 18-6. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I open Alcantara -125, the comeback on Soto at -115. So virtually a pick 'em with a slight lean towards Alcantara. Right now over five times, the Soto -120, the comeback on Alcantara, even money. So line flipped. Virtually a pick 'em still though as well. And it could flip back and forth. I mean, this is one of those fights that I think a round pick 'em either way is fair and accurate. I mean, it's a tough one to call, and it's tough for me to pick as well, because you have Alcantara, which is going to be the longer, stronger overall fighter. I think he's more capable of finishing fights, especially on the feet in this matchup, more so than anything else. I mean, he's a dangerous person. He's a bit of an underachiever, in my opinion, honestly, in the UFC thus far. And a lot of it's to do with, of course, his conditioning. It hasn't been steady, good, you know, throughout his career. It's let him down from time to time. If he's basically a front runner. If he can't get you out of there early on, he's going to probably struggle. And if you could take him down and control him a little bit, he's going to lose his decision. I mean, that's kind of his MO right now. And it is that way. And that's exactly the type of fight that he's going to have here with Soto, in my opinion, at least. Soto's a very underrated fighter. He's very solid in all areas, all aspects of the game. I mean, he's got good wrestling. He's got pretty good stand-up, underrated stand-up, honestly, in most cases. And he's got a great jiu-jitsu game to go along with it. So I don't think there's a huge advantage in Alcantara for Alcantara in any area over Soto. In fact, I think Soto, if he can weather that storm and his chin holds, he probably wins his fight because he ends up grinding Alcantara out. Because I don't think Alcantara could sub Soto. Soto's sub defense is really good. I know in his last fight, it was kind of crazy. I mean, against Brett Johns, that calf slicer that he hit on him. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. So I think that was a unique situation, and Soto's way above and beyond, you know, his sub defense is way better than that. It's just unexpected. Like I said, honestly, a curveball there in most cases. I know he's been choked in Bellator as well, but I mean, technically speaking, Soto has a really good jiu-jitsu game defensively as well. So it's going to be a shocker if Alcantara does catch him in something here in this spot, put it that way. In fact, I think, you know, Soto could possibly end up, if anybody gets a sub here, it could be Soto sub and Alcantara on the ground. I don't think that happens either. I think what we see again is Soto kind of grinding this out and controlling the fight and just smothering Alcantara and, you know, landing some ground and pound along the way and making it a pretty clear 29-28 type of decision, win for Soto. But that chin is what I don't trust, and Alcantara is in Brazil, and I think Alcantara kind of needs to bounce back and have a better performance that he's had in his last few outings. I mean, it's been disappointing for him because, like I said, he was pretty much on his way to being a legit contender, you know, and bantamweight for sure, and he's had some setbacks. And the fight over the loss, I should say, to Alejandro Perez in his last fight, that's disappointing. I mean, Perez is a pretty solid fighter, but he's not a title contender by any means. So I think Alcantara is definitely on the decline a little bit, but his power is still there. And I think that, again, with his reach advantage and with the power that he possesses, I think in this matchup against Soto, he's probably going to end up catching Soto along the way. So if his takedown defense holds early, I think he's the type of fighter that can snipe Soto and give him a lot of problems here. So I'll go against the grain here, I guess. Again, it's a fight that I'm going back and forth on, but I'll pick against the public grain. And I'll go with Alcantara. I think he has a good shot to finishing this fight, so I'll lean that way a little bit. But this is another spot. Make sure you check out MMAoddsbreaker.com, our staff picks on fight day, because that's going to be my final selection. I could swing back to Soto. Like I said, to me, it's pretty clear here. I think it's going to either be Soto by decision or it's going to be Alcantara inside the distance. So if you're betting it and you lean one way or the other, there you go. That's the way to bet it, I don't think. I mean, I do think. I don't think you bet it any other way, honestly, in this fight. So look for maybe the props because it's a tough one. So Alcantara inside or Soto on the cards. But my pick for right now is Alcantara.
And I'll come in the other way. Both guys lost in their last bout and neither looked that good. But what I will say is Soto was facing one of the best up and coming prospects in the bantamweight division. While Alcantara, he was facing, you know, a good fighter in Alejandro Perez, but a beatable fighter. And I thought Alcantara actually looked worse in losing a decision than Soto did in getting submitted. Alcantara is getting up there in years, and we've been saying that for a long time now. We have. But it seems like he's finally starting to fight like it. He's 37 years old, and usually fighters don't age well in the lower weight classes where speed and explosion and reflexes are so important. But Alcantara has always made up for it by having a strong ground game and some heavy hands. Joe Soto, you know, being a former Bellator champion, being a very talented ground fighter with a decent stand-up game, has come a long way. I mean, he was actually on a nice little run in the UFC bantamweight division until that recent loss to Brett Johns. He'd won three in a row, including some quality victories over guys like Marco Beltran and Hani Yahya. So I have to give Soto some credit. It seems like he was turning a corner a little bit until he ran into Brett Johns. Now, this is actually the last fight in Soto's contract, so he's got a lot on the line here. He could have renegotiated a new deal, but he's fighting this out, and if he wins, I mean, this is a big step for him and make a lot more money probably. So the pressure is on for Soto, and he is entering hostile territory here in Brazil, but I think, you know, with the way that Alcantara seems to be slowing down a little bit with some of his historical issues with conditioning and pace, Soto, even though he's not the greatest striker, I think he could outwork Alcantara on the feet. And then if it goes to the ground, I think Soto could be the better grappler. So I think this is actually a decent spot for Soto. The only concern I have is Soto's chin. He doesn't have a great chin. He's been knocked out 3 times in his MMA career, I believe, 2x in the UFC. So, and Alcantara has power. I mean, this guy's fighting at 135, and he's knocked out people when he was fighting up at lightweight. So, I mean, if he connects with something nasty, Soto could be in big trouble. But as long as Soto avoids that big power shot, I think that he outworks Alcantara. I think that he outgrapples Alcantara, and I think Soto could at least win a decision. So my pick is going to be Joe Soto. Now, sticking with the bantamweight division, we have Douglas Silva de Andrade, who is 24-2 with 1 no contest, taking on Marlon Vera, who is 10-4-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Vera minus 160, the comeback on D'Andrade at plus 120. Right now over 5 dimes, it's Vera minus 125. D'Andrade is at plus 105. So line dropped a little bit more actually coming in at D'Andrade's way. I am a little surprised. I don't necessarily disagree with it, though. With Vera's, I think, kind of hype a little bit. D'Andrade is not really the most popular fighter. Not that Vera's huge in popularity or anything, but he's definitely getting a little bit more respect because all of us can see the improvements that he's making. Of course, he's training at Jackson's camp, which is definitely helping his overall game. With Greg Jackson and crew, of course. And then, besides that, you could just see the level of competitions that he's been up against. I mean, the Lineker fight, that's a good test for him. I mean, the Lineker is always going to be thought of as kind of a title on the brink of title contention. So to go in there and lose a respectable, hard fat decision to a guy like Lineker is not too bad. I mean, Vera didn't do that bad in that fight. He had a big win over Kelleher. Kelleher, of course, we know is doing some good things right now, and he's more of a submission guy, and Vera was able to submit him. So for Vera, he's making that type of improvement where he's dangerous on the feet, where, of course, an aging veteran like Brad Pickett, he can knock out, he can catch. I mean, he was, behind in that fight, and then he comes back and wins like that. So that gained him some confidence for sure. So Vera's the type of guy that is improving fight by fight. His stand-up, you got to watch out for a little bit. On the ground, I think he's a little bit more dangerous than even standing. So he's a dangerous out for most people. But I think here against D'Andrade, he's probably up against a guy that's a little bit better than him still overall. I think D'Andrade has an advantage in all areas of the game minus the submission game. The pure submission game, I do give the edge to Vera. But I think if it stays standing here, I mean, Vera's going to have a little bit of a reach advantage. But I think D'Andrade is actually the better overall striker. I think he'll be a little bit busier, a little bit more consistent, and I think he can mix things up a little bit better as well. So on the feet, D'Andrade wins. I think he controls the tempo of this fight. He controls even the wrestling aspect of the fight. I think he's a better wrestler here than Vera is as well. And I think he could probably avoid getting subbed. Now, I know that's tough because, again, D'Andrade in his last fight actually did get submitted to Rob Font, and you wouldn't really consider Font a big BJJ guy, so he's got to be careful. I mean, we know he's susceptible now to getting caught in a sub, but that being said, I still think that D'Andrade is going to be keen enough to avoid, again, a dangerous situation against Vera on the ground. So I think it's him probably pointing Vera to a decision, a close, hard-fought 29-28, maybe even a split decision type of decision. It'll be a very competitive fight, but I think D'Andrade is just the better fighter, and it's going to show here as the fight progresses a little bit. So Vera, he's improving. You got to respect that, but I just think D'Andrade is just a little better, and I'm going to pick him to win this fight.
Vera is definitely a fighter on the rise. He's added a little bit more power to his striking game. He sits down on his punches a little bit better. He's pretty long for the bantamweight division, and he has a pretty good ground game. So he's clearly a fighter that is adding more and more to his game as time goes on, especially if you think about how he looked back when we first saw him on that Ultimate Fighter show when he was just so raw. But that being said, Douglas Silva Andrade is a pretty talented fighter in his own right. I mean, he entered the UFC on a bit of a wave of hype. I think he was like 22-0, but I thought at the time that he was really stiff with his stand up and a bit robotic even. But he's actually loosened up a lot. His pace is strong on the feet. He's aggressive. And I think he can outwork Vera in a stand-up fight. Now, Vera is long, and if he can fight long, then maybe he can make something happen in the stand-up department. But I think Vera's biggest strength in this fight is if he can get this fight to the floor. I think Andrade outworks him on the feet. I think Andrade has slightly better defense on the feet, and Andrade has very good takedown defense. So overall, I'm actually leaning Andrade a little bit. Both of these guys did not have the greatest performances their last times out. I mean, Vera ran and he ran into John Lineker, which hardly anybody looks good against John Lineker. And Andrade got submitted by Rob Font. So, I mean, they both faced top 15 bantamweights, and that kept them from getting a victory. But and I don't know if either of these guys will be top 15 bantamweights at any point. Maybe Vera someday, if he continues to add more to his game, because he was so raw when he debuted in the UFC. But at this point in time, I actually think Andrade is a little bit more dangerous and capable, especially if this stays standing with his pace and tempo and aggression. So as long as Andrade can get inside on Vera without getting him, leaving himself exposed to takedowns, then I think Andrade can get, pick up the decision or maybe even a knockout along the way. So Andrade is going to be my pick. Now, moving up to the lightweight division, we have Alan Patrick, who is 14-1, taking on Demir Hadzevich, who is 11-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I open Patrick minus 215, the comeback on Hadzevich at plus 165. Right now, looking over five knives, Patrick's minus 230, the comeback on Hadzevich is plus 190. So a lot of margins have tightened up a little bit, slightly more actually coming in Patrick's way, and I'm sure he's going to get put in parlays or whatnot as well. Stylistically, a lot of people think this fight's a wrap for Patrick. I don't necessarily agree with it. I understand if you look at their last few fights, I mean, especially in his last fight against Held, Hadzevich was taken down, controlled. He ended up winning that fight in the third round, quickly into the third round with a beautiful timed knee. But outside of that, I mean, he was definitely getting grinded out, controlled on the ground by a very good ground specialist and Held. And, you know, he lost that fight. So that was his kryptonite, that fight, and it seems to be. Now, of course, he, you know, he's been knocked out by Tysimov in his UFC debut. So far he's had some shaky performances. Even again, that Held fight, I think a lot of people are going to hold against him, like I just mentioned, because he did get grinded out a little bit until he had that come from behind win. But I think Hadzevich's actually a pretty solid fighter, and the disrespect that he's getting from that fight isn't necessarily fair, because I know Patrick is a very good, talented fighter in his own right, and he's the type of guy that likes to grind people out. I mean, if you look at him, he has some quality wins as of late, especially. I mean, his win over Stevie Ray in his last fight was very impressive. Damian Brown, another very solid opponent for him to beat, and you know, he's kind of climbing that ladder, and a lot of it is due to him grinding people out. He also has some length over most people in the weight class as well, and his striking is not bad at times. But he does have holes in his game, his striking defense. I think his striking is a tad bit overrated, honestly. It's not, at times it's not very fun to watch him strike, honestly. He looks almost awkward, in my opinion. And I think Hadzevich has a big advantage on the feet. Now, Patrick has enough knockout power that, you know, Hadzevich has to be careful. But I think if it's a firefight on the feet, Hadzevich's actually going to be the bully. He's going to be landing the cleaner punches and attacking Patrick, and probably, you know, make it clear enough that he wins on the cards if it does happen to go that way, or even finish Patrick on the way, you know, to a possible decision. So I think what we're going to see here is Patrick is going to definitely try to get the fight to the ground and grind Hadzevich out and try to even maybe finish him, obviously, on the ground as well. But he's not going to have the success everybody's thinking he's going to have. I think Patrick's game is not quite what Held's is. So I think he's going to be struggling a little bit more than Held was getting the fight to the floor. And I think Hadzevich's takedown defense is going to fare a little bit better. So in my opinion, this is a step down for Hadzevich in fighting Patrick over a guy like Held, but it's actually a step up for Patrick fighting Hadzevich than it was. I mean, even I don't know if that's very fair to say, because Stevie Ray's a pretty solid opponent, but I do believe that this is a tough fight. This is probably a tougher fight, because I think for Patrick it's going to be harder for him to take and control Hadzevich down. So that's why I'm going to pick the underdog here. I think a lot of you guys out there are underestimating Hadzevich's skill. And again, a lot of it's probably based on his last fight. Or if you look back through, he's been put on his back in previous fights as well. But I think his takedown defense is probably better than most think, and it's going to hold up here. So if it does, he's going to win the fight. So not a popular opinion, I'm sure, out there, but I'm picking Hadzevich to pull off the upset win over Patrick.
And I couldn't disagree more on this one, honestly. Alan Patrick, he comes from a striking background, but he's actually a lot more of a wrestler now these days. And if you look at his fight history, I mean, this guy, Patrick, take one takedown against Garrett Whiteley, two takedowns against John McDessie, 5 takedowns against Damian Brown, 5 takedowns against Stevie Ray. The only time he didn't get a takedown was against Mirbek Taisimov, the one fight that he's lost in his last 5, or the one fight he's lost in the UFC so far. And Demir Hadzevich, his takedown defense is 0%. He's never stuffed a takedown in the UFC. I don't know how you can say that somebody has good takedown defense when they've never even stopped a takedown. So I know that Hadzevich is a decent athlete, but I couldn't disagree more on that, on this, this one, because while Patrick isn't like a power wrestler that can just shoot in for a takedown and double leg, he's a guy that is pretty good at closing the distance with his stand up because he comes from the striking background, and then he just latches a hold of people and drags them to the floor. Like, he doesn't have the best takedown offense. Like, even though he's picked up a lot of takedowns, he's only at about 40% success rate with his takedowns. But he is tenacious with it, and he keeps going and going. And eventually he wears people down and gets the takedown. He's kind of that if at first you don't succeed, try again takedown guy. And I think that's where he's going to have the advantage, because Hadzevich, to me, is not as good as Stevie Ray. I mean, Stevie Ray actually has quality wins over some quality opponents like, you know, Ross Pearson and some other people along the way. And Hadzevich got smoked in his UFC debut and then was getting smoked in his second UFC fight until he got lucky and landed a perfectly timed knee as Marcin Held was diving at his legs with a rolling knee bar attempt. I think Alan Patrick, as long as he can ugly this fight up, put it into the clinch, work for takedowns, I don't see how Hadzevich will have any space to try to knock him out. I think Hadzevich isn't that good, and his takedown defense definitely isn't that good, and I think Patrick exploits it. So while I don't think Patrick is that great of a fighter, I think that the fact that he can drag this to the floor and have some success there is more than enough, especially because that's all he needed to do in the Stevie Ray fight. So I'm definitely siding with Alan Patrick here. Now moving on to the Facebook or the preliminary main event on Fox Sports 2, we have Sergio Moraes, who is 12-4-1, taking on Tim Means, who is 27-9-1 with 1 no contest. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I put Means -260, the comeback of Moraes at +180. Right now, looking for 5 dimes, it's Means -220, the comeback of Moraes +180. So line margins have tightened up, and there is 2-way action in this fight as well. Some early dog action, and then some, you know, later as we get closer to the fight time, some action coming back in on Means as well. I think this is a pretty clear-cut fight. I mean, I don't think it's a head-scratcher at all. We all know how this plays out in most cases. Means is going to want to keep this fight upright, and if he does, he's going to probably bash Moraes on the feet to the point where he probably gets a finish. If he doesn't get a finish, he's going to get a clear decision. But if Moraes gets the fight to the ground, Means is in some serious trouble. So you'd have your throwback grappler versus striker matchup, and it's never been, you know, more clear than a situation like this, because we know Tim Means. I mean, both these guys are better than that. Moraes, for a grappler, does have some probably a little bit underrated striking, and Means, for being more known as a striker, does have some wrestling, you know, and some ground to go along with it as well. But their strengths here, how they match up. Means wants to keep this fight upright, and Moraes wants to get Means' back or put him on the floor and sub him there. So it's going to be interesting clash of styles here. And I think if Means doesn't make that mistake, he's obviously got a clear advantage, and his takedown defense is probably good enough to keep it upright. So I don't know if there's much more to say than that. I think it's Means. You have to pick Means, but you, as far as betting goes, you have to be cautious here in this fight, because one mistake for Means could get him subbed. I mean, Moraes gets his back, he's going to sub him. I don't think there's a question about that. He doesn't even have to get his back. If he gets top position, I think he subs him as well, beats him on the ground. But if he doesn't do that, Moraes is in some serious trouble, and he's going to get beat up in this fight. So I'm going to pick Means. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, thinking that he could keep this fight upright. He could keep Moraes off his back. And if he does that, he should win. And I think there's probably a better chance he does that than he doesn't. So the pick is Means. If you're betting this fight, be careful, though, because it is, you know, one of those situations. Like I said, it depends on who utilizes their game plan and who makes the first mistake here. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is a pretty clear cut fight of grappler against striker. Sergio Moraes does have some knockout power on the feet, but for the most part, I mean, when he stands against guys with heavy hands or guys that really know what they're doing on the feet, Moraes gets outclassed. So, if he can get this to the floor, Moraes is one of the better grapplers in the welterweight division, and he could absolutely submit Tim Means. I mean, just look at, you know, some of the artistry that Moraes has pulled off when he does get fights to the ground. The problem, though, is always is Moraes' knees are shot, and he doesn't have any explosion whatsoever with his ability to shoot in and get fights to the floor. He doesn't really have that good of wrestling or takedown ability. If Tim Means wants to keep this fight standing, unless he is, like, wildly reckless, he should be able to keep it standing. And when Tim Means keeps fights standing against guys that are not great strikers, Tim Means usually has a good day. And, you know, Tim Means is big, he's strong, he's powerful, and he's got the size and reach advantages in this fight. So if Means can just keep his distance and then just pick apart Moraes with some good power shots, I think at some point he lands some good combinations, and then if he hurts Moraes, he'll step in with some nasty knees and elbows and probably get a finish. So as long as Means isn't reckless, I think that this is absolutely his fight to lose, so I am definitely picking Tim Means. Now moving on to the Fox Sports 1 main card, we have a middleweight contest between Thiago Santos, who is 16-5, and Anthony Smith, who is 28-12. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up at Santos, -150, the comeback on Smith at +110. The line got chewed up, and it is now currently -270 for Santos. The comeback on Smith is at +230. So this is definitely the biggest mover on the card. I put Santos too low. Hard for me to gauge Santos at times. I know what kind of beast he is on the feet. His takedown defense is good. His cardio is solid as well. So, man, the guy is definitely a very tough out in the middleweight division. I mean, his size, his knockout ability, I mean, he just – everything about him, his takedown defense, like I said, is solid enough that, I mean, you're going to have problems taking this guy to the floor, but he is a bit chinny and he does make some mistakes on the ground at times as well. So his chin and his ground defense is what bothers me. And Smith has been on a bit of a roll. I mean, I think he's at the point, he's one of those savvy vets that's been around for a long time, you know, and finally getting his opportunity in the UFC, and he's making the most of it. I mean, I think he's never been better. So even though he's 29 years old, but I mean, in fight years, he's way above and beyond that, because Smith has been around for a long time and he's been knocked out 6 times. So he, you know, he's had, you know, the fight years kind of adding up on him, but he hasn't really shown it so far in the UFC, which is a bit of a surprise. So I think that Smith, again, he's kind of fighting at his best right now, and a good version of Smith will give Santos some fits. So I think Smith is going to have to be smart here, try to, you know, shut Santos down by closing the gap, trying to get inside, making this a slow paced fight a little bit. I mean, Smith does have some knockout power on his feet in his own right, and he's going to have some, at least some height over Santos, not exactly reach, pure reach per se, but I think that Smith definitely has an opportunity on the feet to test that chin of Santos, but more so than anything, I think his path to victory here is on the ground. If Smith can do it, which a lot of people have failed recently, if he could get, you know, top position on Santos or drag him to the ground or get his back, he's going to submit him on the ground as well. So I do think Smith has a shot of winning this fight. He can either knock him out on the feet if he lands that big bomb, or again, on the ground, if Santos isn't careful, Smith has an opportunity to win there. But I'm not going to pick Smith to win this fight. I do see Santos as the better fighter here. I think his takedown defense probably does hold, and if it does, then he's probably going to beat Smith up, because I think Santos is the better striker here, no doubt. He mixes things up a lot better. I mean, he's got some lethal kicks to go along with some nice punching power as well, and he's a pretty accurate striker, and again, he's improving. I mean, I like what I've seen from Santos for a while now, so I do have a lot of respect for him. I got a ton of respect for Smith again, especially making this late surge in his career. I'm going to pick Santos to win, but not necessarily as much as all of you guys out there that took the line up to 270. I think you guys got to be careful here, because you might be underrating and underestimating Smith a little bit in this spot. But I do see what you guys all do, and I have to, you know, be honest and say that I do think Santos is going to win his fight. So I'm going to pick him to win. But part of me, you know, with all the steam and everybody just thinking the fight's already over with Santos, I wouldn't mind being wrong in this spot and having Smith pull off another upset win. So it is what it is, but I'll pick Santos to get by in this fight.
This is a good matchup between two guys that are both on very nice runs in the middleweight division. Anthony Smith has picked up three quality TKO victories in his last three fights against Elvis Mutapsich, Andrew Sanchez, and Hector Lombard. And I think he might have been the underdog in all three. Maybe not against Lombard, I'm not sure. But Thiago Santos looked great, picking up three knockouts in his fights against Marshman, Mearshart, and Hermanson. So, you know, you've definitely got two guys with killer power and ability to put this fight away at any moment stepping in there. So this could go either way. But the one theme of Anthony Smith's fights has been he is not the greatest starter, and his opponents have started strong against him, and then Smith has turned it up late when his opponents started to fade. And it's been really surprising, actually. Mutapsich, Sanchez, and Lombard slowed down in all three fights, and then Smith was able to pick up a knockout as his opponents gassed. And guess what? Thiago Santos isn't going to gas. So that strategy is completely out the window for Smith, unless he plays like rope-a-dope and lets Santos tee off on him until he gasses himself out, which I think is not wise with how technical and powerful and dangerous Santos is capable of being. So in a pure stand-up fight, while Smith does have some slight advantages in reach and length and height, I think Santos utilizes his reach and technique better. Santos is the overall more powerful striker, and Santos is the more dangerous striker. So if this is a pure stand-up fight, Santos should win. I mean, he shouldn't just win. I think that he can win convincingly. But, I mean, Smith does have other paths to victory. Smith actually does have an underrated ground game. He has, you know, very long limbs that he can utilize very well on the canvas. So if this fight goes to the floor, Santos has shown that he's, you know, not that great on the ground. And he has been submitted multiple times in the UFC, most recently by Eric Spicely, a guy that is kind of a one-trick pony with his ground game. And he was able to get tapped out. That was his actually last loss, I believe. So if Smith can get this to the floor, Smith might be able to get a submission. And Smith does have the power to knock Santos out if he catches him with something, you know, just out of nowhere. But overall, though, you have to side with Santos. He's got the power, the technique, the ability, and he should not slow down in a three-round fight, unlike Smith's last three opponents. So I think this is Santos's fight to lose as long as it stays upright, so he's going to be my pick. Now moving all the way up to the heavyweight division, we have Timothy Johnson, who is 11-4, taking on Marcelo Gomes, who is 6-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I put Gomes -185, the comeback on Johnson at +145. Right now looking over at Five Dimes, it's Gomes -160, the comeback on Johnson is at +140. So there is two action in this fight. Margins have tightened up a little bit, but you know, the line got bet up originally. Now it's getting bet back down a little bit, and I expect it actually probably climb back up. So it's going to be one of those roller coaster lines up and down a little bit. We'll see it go. I mean, Gomes is definitely one of those serious prospects. Age 25, he's a great addition to the heavyweight division. There's no doubt about that. And they brought him in, and he faced a pretty solid opponent. A lot of people probably aren't going to give Colombo a lot of respect, but, you know, he's one of those guys that was around some of the smaller organizations for a while that mounted a decent resume in his own right, and he's a solid test. It's definitely one of the biggest tests of Gomes' career when he made his UFC debut against Colombo, and man, did he pass that test with flying colors. I mean, the guy looked great in that fight, getting a tough, rugged guy like Colombo out of there quick. So that was an impressive, you know, performance, but now he's stepping up to the plate against somebody way tougher. Tim Johnson is definitely a test for Gomes, and it's going to be by far the best person he's ever faced. But I think Gomes is going to be up for the challenge here. I mean, from what I've seen so far, I mean, Gomes, basically he's a striking-based fighter with actually, he's a striking-based fighter with some wrestling and BJJ. So he's basically one of the hybrid overall, you know, kind of new generation MMA fighters, of course, that we've all been talking about that's kind of developing and becoming more complete fighters right away as soon as they enter the UFC. So Gholm has it all. I mean, he does have some knockout power on the feet, but he can submit you. He can take you down as well. So, I mean, like I said, he's a very complete fighter and he's only getting better and he's going to be tested here and his confidence is going to continue to increase if he could get some of these wins. And I think he can, again, like Johnson, it's a big step up, but I think he can get it done. Now, Johnson, of course, has a wrestling background. He's a very tough fighter. He pushes a pretty high pace as well. He's just a tough out, but I think he eats a little bit too many punches. I mean, he's got a pretty solid chin. I know it didn't fare too well for him in his last fight for Johnson, but overall, he's not that easy to get out of there. I mean, Albini does have some kind of special knockout power at times. I know he wasn't able to get Orlovsky out of there, but again, that's another story there. But I mean, I'm not surprised Albini was able to finish Johnson because he does have that knockout power in him, even though it, like I said, didn't show recently. So, that loss there could happen again. I think we could see a repeat performance because Gholm has that kind of knockout power as well, probably more so than Albini, honestly. And again, Johnson is coming off that knockout loss. So I think there's going to be a lot of question marks in his head right now. I don't think he's going to be able to control Gholm on the ground. So I think the wrestling is going to kind of neutralize each other out. I think what's going to take over here at times and make this a tough fight for Gholm is if Johnson's toughness does hold, then Johnson will probably slow this fight down and try to grind on Gholm a little bit, try to wear him out and try to take him to deep waters. I think that's probably Johnson's best path to victory in this spot here because, again, there's a lot of question marks surrounding Gholm. So I think stylistically it's a good fight for him. We are going to get a lot of questions answered. I hope it does go. Honestly, I don't – if I see Gholm going out there and knocking Johnson out in a round, I'm going to kind of be disappointed because I want to see Gholm in round three and how he performs in maybe a tough, hard-fought battle. So I hope Johnson does bring it. I expect he will. But I think Gholm still passes the test here as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of good things from Gholm in the future. I mean, if he does pass this legit test, like I said, I think this is a spot where it's like a gatekeeper role for Johnson, honestly. If Gholm's able to get through that gate, I think he can potentially, if he's matched well, you know, make a run towards the UFC heavyweight strap. That's how good this guy can be at age 25. Still has a lot of room to grow. So keep an eye out for Gholm. I mean, we could see – I don't want to compare him to Ngannou. I mean, they're different fighters. Ngannou is just a huge beast, and we know that what he was able to do to everybody. So I don't think Gholm is going to be that nasty of a KO artist, but he has a lot of hype and a lot of potential, sort of like an Ngannou, I think, on the way up. So let's keep an eye on him and see what happens. But this is going to be a tough test, like I said. I'm expecting Gholm to pass it, though.
I'll admit, when I saw fight film footage of Marcelo Gholm, I didn't know what to expect heading into his UFC debut. He looked very raw. He didn't look like he had a lot of striking talent. He looked like he didn't have that much grappling talent. He just looked like an athlete that was capable of making things happen. And then I saw him in the UFC and his debut against Colombo. He looked great. He had a stiff jab. I'm not saying that he's, you know, I'm not saying that he is an accomplished striker yet, but he actually looked like he knew what he was doing on the feet, and then he got the fight to the floor, and he looked like he knew what he was doing on the ground, too. So this is a guy that potentially we could get excited about. Now, granted, Colombo's not a very good heavyweight, so it wasn't the best test, and we're going to learn a lot more about Gholm in this fight because Timothy Johnson is capable of really making a fight ugly, and he's picked up some quality wins in his career. I mean, Tim Johnson is, while he has not been that great lately, he does have some victories over guys like, Marcin Tybura, who is a top 15 heavyweight. He beat, Shamil Abdurakhimov, who in my opinion is a top 15 heavyweight. So, you know, he has some good wins in his UFC run so far. And if Gholm allows Johnson to make this fight ugly, to bring it into the clinch, to let him drag it to the floor, then Johnson could win this fight. Johnson maybe could even outwork him on the feet just with pressure, because I mean, that's kind of what happened when Johnson faced Tybura. I mean, Tybura hurt Johnson, and then Johnson just kept pushing forward despite having an injured arm, and he was able to eke out a decision. So this is a very strong test for Gholm. if he can pass it, I think that he might be a prospect worth getting excited about. To help, it is in Brazil. So Gome isn't traveling or doing anything real crazy here. But, and Gome is young. That's another thing he has going for him. I mean, even a lot of the guys that people have been getting excited about in the heavyweight division are older. I mean, even Francis Ngannou is in his early 30s. Gome's just 25 years old. There aren't a lot of young, up-and-coming heavyweights, and Gome might be one to keep an eye on for sure. And at, you know, about 250 pounds, he's got good size. He's got strength. He's got power. I'm a little concerned that Johnson could out-grapple him, so I'm hoping that Gome can keep this upright for the most part unless he hurts Johnson. And we have seen Johnson get hurt. I mean, Junior Albini was able to knock him out in his last fight, so that is something to consider here. So I'm leaning Gome because I think that even though he looked good in his last fight, he could look even better now just because he is so young and he's adding so much more to his game. And I don't know how much more Tim Johnson is going to be adding to his game at this point. I think he probably peaked a couple fights ago, and from now on, I mean, he's just trying to maintain. And perhaps Gome has surpassed him. We'll see. This is a very strong test for Gome. We're going to learn a lot about him in this fight, and I'm going to pick him. But again, you have to be cautious here because this could be a trap fight if Johnson can make this ugly. But my pick is going to be Gome. Now dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Michelle Prezeris, who is 22-2, taking on Desmond Green, who is 20-5. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I open Prezeris minus 175, the comeback on Green at plus 135. Right now over five dimes, it's actually Prezeris minus 140, the comeback on Green plus 120. So a little bit drop on the dog price, and line margins have tightened up a little bit. I am surprised. Prezeris, in my opinion, is kind of the more popular fighter out of the two overall as far as respect-wise go. I know Green has been, you know, Bellator, Titan vet. He's been around the game for a while, and the fans out there know who he is and know what he's capable of. But, you know, he was fighting a lot of that at 145 pounds, and, of course, he's been at lightweight. But since he's been at lightweight in the UFC, you got to admit, Green's looked pretty good. Even in his last loss to Khabibov, I think he probably performed better than a lot of people thought. I mean, Khabibov's a very tough out, and, you know, he was solid. He kept competitive in that fight. So yeah, that wasn't necessarily a bad look for Green, even though he did end up losing that fight. And before that, against Josh Emmett, a lot of people weren't, you know, expecting him to pull that fight off, and he did. And Emmett's another accomplished wrestler type of, you know, striking powerhouse kind of fighter. Now, of course, he's dropping to featherweight, so, you know, it is what it is again in that spot. But I think Green is one of those cases that even though he did start fighting up a weight class in the UFC that we're normally used to seeing him fight, he's filled out pretty nice, and he's not undersized at 155 pounds. I think his athleticism and his strength is okay, even at this weight class as well. And he's going to present a lot of problems for Prezeris. In fact, he's going to be the bigger fighter here. Now, of course, Prezeris is a little tank. So, you know, he's wide, he's strong for sure. I mean, he's the bully usually in most cases. So I don't think that Green's going to be able to bully Prezeris all that much, but I think the Green physicality and, like I said, his size is going to be an interesting test for Prezeris as well. So these guys are definitely going to challenge each other. So I do agree with your early action coming in on Green. I'm expecting us to see Prezeris probably get bet up a little bit as well. So this is another line that'll bounce back and forth. So it's probably the timing of this fight, as far as a bet goes, where you want to grab it at. Either way, it depends which side you like. So I think it'll continue to climb. So if you time it right, you'll probably get a good number either way. But that being said, I think it's going to be a competitive fight. I mean, Prezeris has looked like a beast in so many fights. He always overperforms. I mean, he's the type of fighter, I think, even his stand-up. I mean, we all know that he's more of a ground fighter, more of a wrestling-based fighter, likes to get the fight to the floor and then some other people control him. I mean, he's actually subbing people. You know, obviously that beautiful choke that he had recently against Berkman. And, of course, he followed up with a choke win against Burnell as well. But I was more impressed with the Berkman win. I mean, he just smoked Berkman. I know it's a declining Berkman, but still. You know, I mean, Prezeris has that in him. And of course, on the feet, you can't take him lightly. He's got some knockout power and he's got some aggression as well. So Prezeris is a tank and he's not an easy out. And he's going to be putting some pressure on Green here for sure, going for those takedowns, trying to grind Green out. And then obviously having a little bit of success on the feet as well. But I think Green's going to land his own strikes. I think Green's takedown defense is going to surprise many here as well. And I think this is stylistically an okay matchup for him. I mean, Green has been tested against other wrestlers again so far in his UFC career and beyond that, you know, so his takedown defense defense has improved for sure. And again, he's got some underrated wrestling in his own right. I mean, and he is going to have some size. So I wouldn't be surprised if Green wrestles Prezeris at times in this spot as well. But I think what's going to take place here is probably we see the ground game neutralize each other out along the way. And I think Green does pick Prezeris apart and end up getting a close competitive decision type of win. Or maybe even we see Prezeris finally go out. He's a tough guy to stop. But I think that Green could get the job done that way as well. If anybody, stylistically, this is kind of one of those weird matchups that I wouldn't be shocked if Green does get a finish here. So I'm going to pick Green to pull off the upset here. I think, again, he's pretty much been a little bit underrated so far through his UFC career, and this is going to be the biggest scalp of his career if he is able to pull off this win over Prezeris in Brazil, of course, as well. So I'm looking forward to this fight. I think Green is going to open up some eyes again, and he continues to improve and get better. So the pick is Green to pull off the upset.
This is a pretty evenly matched fight. Now, what Michel Prezeris has going for him, though, is I think even though Green is the longer fighter with a bit better reach and height and everything, Prezeris is just so physical and so strong that he might just be able to overpower Green. Now, Green is a decent striker with solid wrestling and pretty good. He's pretty well-rounded in just about everything. But Prezeris has been, you know, just routinely underlooked throughout his UFC run. I mean, this guy's on a 5-fight win streak. He's still not ranked. But this could be the fight that finally might get him into that top 15 mix. Prezeris has solid wrestling, heavy top control, and his stand-up is actually a bit underrated. Now, he's not the type of guy that's going to pick people apart, but what Prezeris does very well is he puts pressure on his opponents on the feet by moving forward, swinging aggressively, and he gets his opponents on the back foot, having to defend because he is throwing hard. And then the second that they start to defend against his aggression on the feet, that's when he looks to get fights to the floor. And he's had a lot of success with that. I mean, his last two fights, he was able to pick up stoppage victories by submission. I mean, he can be stifling with his top control, with good ground and pound and good submissions. You know, this is clearly a guy that should not be underestimated at this point. Now, yes, Dez Green has had some pretty good performances so far. His UFC debut against Josh Emmett, he basically sent Emmett to the featherweight division. And then in his last fight against Khabibov, he defended Khabibov pretty well. But, I mean, still, for the most part, he did end up getting eked out and losing a decision. And he did get taken down 3 times. And honestly, while Khabibov gets a lot of praise for his wrestling, I think Prezeris might actually have better actual takedowns than Khabibov. Khabibov relies a lot more on the clinch and throws and underhooks and all that stuff. Prezeris can just shoot in for a power double, and he's just so physical that he can just overwhelm you. So that being said, I think Green is going to be the faster fighter. Green might be able to be the more technical fighter with a bit better volume of striking on the feet. So if he can keep this fight upright and not just be on his back foot the whole time, Green has a decent chance to outstrike Prezeris in this fight. And but I think with Prezeris's forward pressure, and I do expect Prezeris to get some takedowns in this fight because I really do respect his wrestling, I think that that's going to be enough, especially in Brazil. Prezeris is a guy that's very physically strong for the division. He's actually missed weight in 2 of his last 3 fights. So if that happens again, which it might, I mean, he probably will be forced to move up to welterweight after this fight. But as long as Green accepts the fight, I mean, he could be, it could be like a guy that's half between lightweight and welterweight taking on a guy that is capable of fighting at featherweight in Green. So my pick is actually going to be Michel Prezeris. I just think that the wrestling and pressure is going to be enough to get him over the top, although this fight should be close. Now dropping down to the women's flyweight division, we have Valentina Shevchenko, who is 14-3, taking on Priscilla Cachuera, who is 8-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I have Shevchenko minus 705, Cachuera at plus 435. Right now, looking over five dimes, Shevchenko is minus 900. The comeback on Cachuera is at plus 600. So line margins have tightened up, and it's increased a little bit, which is smart because we're going to keep on moving this fight up, and they should. Shevchenko is, in my opinion, the best female fighter on the UFC roster. She's the most complete. I mean, she has a great stand-up game, a really good, solid wrestling game to go along with it, and she has great jiu-jitsu. So she's a very complete package. Decent takedown defense as well. I mean, she can outpoint you. She can finish you. She is the best, most, I think, well-rounded and most complete fighter in the UFC. I mean, she is definitely up there. So that's just, again, my personal opinion. You can argue that, of course. There's some talented ladies, but I think, in my opinion, she drops down 125 pounds. There's no question about who's going to win the women's flyweight title in the near future. It's going to be around Shevchenko's waist, and it should be because, again, she is, in my opinion, pound for pound, the women's best fighter. So that being said, against Cachuera here, she's going to be tested a little bit. I mean, Cachuera is making her UFC debut. She was originally supposed to fight Lauren Murphy, I believe, at the Tough 26 finale. And, of course, visa issues, I believe, is what took her out of that fight. And the public at that time was all over Cachuera. They were betting her big time against Lauren Murphy. Of course, Shevchenko is not Lauren Murphy, but still, I think that that might have been a mistake. I mean, even against Lauren Murphy there in that spot. So I was surprised, and I had to be careful with this fight because Cachuera is one of those fighters that's definitely an aggressive striker. If you watch her film, she throws heavy haymakers. I mean, literally, she has big power on the feet, pushes forward aggressively, and can be very dangerous. I mean, there's sometimes in some fights you could watch her, she doesn't, you know, she kind of controls that aggression a little bit more so, and I think she's going to have to pick her spots here, obviously, against Shevchenko. So, you know, I have seen two sides of her at times, but she's definitely a very dangerous fighter because she does pack a punch. I mean, she's a big girl for the weight class, and she's strong, and she's going to, you know, like I said, everything she throws is kind of meant to get you out of there. And she, you know, strong physically as well, so she's not going to be easily, you know, bullied around, but she is kind of slow. I think as well. So now with her dropping down to 125 pounds, I think she's probably going to address maybe that issue a little bit. She'll probably be a little quicker. I'm sure she's going to look better than she does on film as well. So it's going to be a fun fight. I think, you know, she's going to have her moments in this fight, but Shevchenko, in my opinion, is going to utilize Cachera's aggressive against her aggression against her. She's going to pick her apart on the feet, and then she's going to get a takedown and probably end the fight on the ground. Because Cachera, her takedown defense is definitely subpar. She needs to improve that. And then once on the ground, even though she hasn't been submitted in her career yet, I think Shevchenko is more than capable of finishing his fight on the ground as well. So that's why you're seeing Shevchenko such a big favorite. I mean, she should not lose this fight. Cachera has a puncher's chance, but that's about it. It's not a very good one, I think, either. So it is a Shevchenko fight to win or lose. And again, I think she is the future champion at flyweight in the women's division. We'll see how it goes for her. I mean, there's just, she's that talented and that good. And I'm sure most of you agree out there as well. So Shevchenko it is.
Yeah, there's really not that much to break down here. I mean, Valentina Shevchenko, I have ranked as the number two women's bantamweight behind Amanda Nunes. And now that she's dropping down to flyweight, I mean, she is head and shoulders the number one women 125 pounder. I mean, Shevchenko was undersized at 135, and she was still picking up incredible quality victories over some of the best of the best in that division, with victories over Holly Holm, Sarah Kaufman, Juliana Pena. I mean, you name it. So now that she's actually going to the weight class that she should be fighting at, being an undersized bantamweight, I don't think anybody in this division stands even the smallest chance in hell against her. Shevchenko is an elite striker with a very well-rounded skill set. She has good trips. She can get fights to the floor. She has an above-average ground game, and she can just beat people up in the stand-up. Now, she doesn't have elite power, but she makes up for that with very good technique, excellent counter-striking ability, and against somebody like Cachuera, who has some power and is aggressive, I think Shevchenko was just going to eat her for lunch, because Cachuera is going to be pushing forward and throwing, and Shevchenko is just going to be dodging and countering. Like, I think this could be Shevchenko's first knockout victory, because Kashira is just going to be eating counter after counter after counter, and those add up. It's the shots that you don't see coming that usually do the most damage, and I think Shevchenko can do a lot of damage in this fight. So I think Shevchenko wins it any way she wants. I expect her to get a stoppage victory, but she should clearly get the win here. I mean, I think, honestly, she's at like, what, minus 700 or something. That might not be enough. So I think this is definitely a showcase fight for Shevchenko. And if she does not get a title shot after this, I think the UFC is crazy. So my pick is going to be Valentina Shevchenko. Now moving on and dropping down to the bantamweight division for the co-main event of the evening, we have John Dodson, who is 20-9, taking on Pedro Munhoz, who is 15-2 with one no contest. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I bet Dodson minus 165. The comeback on Munhoz at plus 125. Right now, over five dimes, it's Dodson minus 150. Munhoz is at plus 130. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. And there is two-way action on this fight as well. And I think we'll continue to see that. I mean, you have two quality bantamweights going at it. Of course, it's still hard for me to get used to Dodson fighting at 135 pounds, even though he's had a few fights there now as well. I mean, we're just so much, you know, used to him being, I guess, a title contender at the flyweight division. So he's had some mixed success, obviously, at bantamweight. He is definitely undersized in this weight class as well. And of course, bantamweight's a deep weight class. It's deeper overall than the flyweight. So I'd expect him to struggle, but he still has some very competitive fights against quality people. Look at his last fight against Moraes. That was a very close fight that could have realistically went either way. And Moraes is one of the guys in line for a bantamweight title shot. So Dodson is a special athlete. He's always been a tough out in the UFC and one of the better fighters, regardless of the weight class. I mean, Dodson, well, he's got a win over the current bantamweight champion, of course, in TJ Dillashaw as well. So Dodson is that type of guy that has speed. He's got that knockout power. Of course, he's a smart fighter. He's training at a good camp. We all know, again, Greg Jackson and crew there. He's been with him for a long time. I mean, Dodson's just a very difficult out. He's hard to take down, hard to control, hard to beat on the ground. So if you beat Dodson, you're not going to probably smother him on the ground. You're going to have to beat him on the feet. And he's dangerous because he does have that speed and knockout power and the precision as well to go along with that experience and the fight IQ. So Dodson's a very tough out. But I think Munhoz is the type of fighter. He's going to have some size over Dodson. Munhoz on the feet is no slouch at all. He's more well-known for his ground game, of course. He is a very technical finisher on the ground, to say the least. If he gets you in that choke, it doesn't matter who you are. If you've never been subbed before, you got a good sub defense. He gets that arm around you with his technique and his strength and just utilizing those chokes that he has. He's so slick, he can finish you. He's proven it time and time again. So Munhoz on the ground is definitely a threat even against a guy like Dodson. But will it get there? Probably not so. So you're going to expect this fight to stay standing. And on the feet, it's going to be competitive. I think Munhoz, if you look at it, he does fight at a higher rate a little bit more. He works. He outworks his opponents most of the time. So he's going to be the aggressive fighter here. I think he's going to have some success landing on Dodson along the way, pushing Dodson back. Dodson will probably be on his back foot looking to counter Munhoz as well. So I think what you're going to see here is a very competitive, another typical Dodson fight as of late. It seems like most of his fights are competitive split decision type of fights. And I think we're going to see another one with Munhoz here. I think Munhoz is going to be the one, again, kind of pushing forward a little bit, controlling the tempo of the fight. It's in Brazil. It's not going to hurt that he's, you know, has his home crowd backing him as well here. So I think we'll see a competitive decision that goes to Munhoz. So it is a dog or pass situation. There's no doubt about that. Even though I said all those good things about Dodson, I definitely respect him. And this is, you know, a fight that he can win for sure. You can never count Dodson out. I mean, it's, you know, he's a favorite for a reason here as well, because he does pack a punch, like I said, and he's, you know, the quality wins that he's had throughout his UFC career, I mean, they speak for themselves. So Dodson's not an easy out, but I just like the matchup here for Munhoz a little bit better. So the pick is Munhoz to win, a competitive but hopefully clear enough decision that he wins on the scorecards as well. So Munhoz is the pick.
And I'm going to side with Munhoz as well. Munhoz is just the more well-rounded fighter of the two. Now, that doesn't mean that those well-rounded pieces will actually matter, because John Dodson has very good takedown defense, and while Munhoz has one of the best ground games of the bantamweight division, I don't know if he has the ability to get this to the floor. That being said, Munhoz's stand-up is no joke. I mean, this guy pushes a high pace, he has good output, he has some size in the bantamweight division, so I don't think that Dodson can just stand toe to toe with Munhoz and go strike for strike with him, because I think Munhoz will just, be the better, more technical striker and outwork him. I mean, Munoz actually outstruck Rob Font in his last fight, which set up a submission when Font shot in for a takedown right into a guillotine choke. So Dodson, while I do think Dodson has the better pure power, that's it. I mean, Dodson has a good right hand, and if Munoz eats that and Dodson's able to follow up on that, then maybe Dodson can win, because Munoz has been rocked, like in his fight with Jimmy Rivera. So I wouldn't completely discount the fact that Dodson can win this fight, but I just think Pedro Munoz has way more ways to win the fight. I mean, if it goes to the floor, Munoz has the edge. On the feet, Munoz's pace and technique should be enough. The only real concern for me is the fact that Dodson does have power and Munoz has been hurt. So as long as Munoz avoids getting blasted by just some excellent explosive technique that Dodson throws at him, then I think this fight will go pretty similarly to some of the fights where Dodson has had some trouble, like the Marlon Moraes fight, which was close, but Moraes was able to eke out a decision. Or, you know, when the John Lineker fight, where Lineker was just the aggressor the whole time, and while Dodson was working from the outside and landing good counters, you know, that was Lineker's pace and output and everything, and the fact that he was throwing so much heat was enough to convince the judges. I know Dodson hasn't been completely destroyed or anything in any bantamweight fight. His only two losses have been by split decision at 135, but I think Munoz has the size and technique that could make things difficult for Dodson. So I'm going to side with Munoz. Now, this brings us to the main event of the evening in the middleweight division. We have the former light heavyweight champion, Lyoto Machida, who is 22-8, taking on surging prospect Eric Anders, who is 10-0. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I opened Anders minus 230, the comeback of Machida, plus 170. Right now, looking for five dimes, Anders minus 290, the comeback of Machida, plus 245. This was not an easy line to set, to say the least, so I'm glad I did open it higher than probably most people thought, because look at the overall betting action has come in on Anders, right, and it's all the way up to 290 right now. It's just, I mean, we all know what's going on here. Anders is the up-and-coming, I don't want to say prospect because he's 30 years old, but he's the up-and-coming young gun that's, or younger gun MMA years at least, that has looked really good. I mean, if you look at his fight against Natal, he got him out of there, a seasoned UFC veteran that a lot of people respect, got him out of there early, follows it up with a very tough opponent. I don't think people realize how good Marcus Perez is, and he followed that up with a solid win over Marcus Perez, you know, going all three rounds. His cardio is good. He's been tested also. Before he made his official UFC debut, I should mention this off the rip, I mean, he was an Access TV competitor, so he fought in LFA, and he was tested in LFA. I mean, he didn't fight exactly – you know, bum opponents and, you know, in the LFA. So they brought him up, I think, accordingly. I mean, they didn't overmatch Anders. They let him kind of slowly build up his resume against weaker competition. Of course, we all know Anders' background. He's a football player. I mean, a special athlete, a talented person in his own right. I mean, he's just, you know, he's got that sports athletic type of background. So it's not a surprise that he adapted well and picked up MMA so well. So, but he's taken it to another level. Again, I think they brought him up the right way, stepped up his competition fight by fight. Again, his win, his last solid win outside of the UFC was against Brandon Allen, and Brandon Allen's actually a pretty solid fighter in his own right. So Anders is on his way, man, and a win over Machida here. I mean, like I said, we know why they made this matchup. It's to get him a quality win over a seasoned vet and a respected fighter like Machida. And Anders definitely has the capabilities of doing so, especially against a declining Machida at this point. I mean, Machida's 39 years old. I mean, his best days are definitely behind him. In his prime, Machida would not have suffered some of the recent losses that he has. So we know that his chin's going, his defense is going, even his takedown defense is going a little bit. I mean, but we can't just exactly throw Machida out the window or throw him in the trash quite yet. That's not fair. Machida definitely has some skill. He's a very talented fighter. He's not going to lose his power, of course. He's got some knockout power, and he's got that, you know, the striking style that is definitely awkward for most fighters. And he's an accurate striker. He's a smart fighter. So if his defense holds, holds, if he's able to, you know, weather a storm and able to counter Anders well enough, you never know. Machida could pull this off. So I'm not exactly counting him out, but I think Anders is just a difficult matchup right now. If you, like I said, Machida coming off that knockout loss to Brunson. Before that, it was against Romero. I mean, those were pretty brutal beats. You know, even the fight that he got submitted by Rockhold just schooled him on the ground there as well after he beat him up. So Machida at age 39, after those defeats against high level competition, but they took a lot out of him, I think. So Anders is getting Machida at the perfect time. Anders also is capable of getting his fight to the floor and wrestling as well. So if he gets it to the ground, he's going to probably be able to finish Machida, maybe possibly some ground and pound in his own right. It's not going to be easy though, because Machida's takedown defense in most cases is pretty solid. So this is an interesting fight. I mean, we'll see Machida in his backyard in front of his home country. You know, I don't want to really see him suffer a loss, especially a bad one. I mean, I do think Anders is probably going to get it done and probably knock Machida out as well. So hopefully it's not too bad. And if so, you know, hopefully Machida can rebound and maybe even think about calling it quits if he is at that point of his career. But of course, a good quality win over Anders for Machida goes a long way. And a lot of us are going to be thinking, hey, let's see Machida's next matchup. Maybe he can bounce back. So we'll see how it goes. A lot of intrigue in this fight for sure. Again, I have a ton of respect for Machida. For me, he's one of my all-time favorite fighters. I mean, it's hard. I'm not biased at all or whatever when I set a line on him, but he's always been one that I loved watching throughout, you know, and it's tough seeing him kind of hit this decline spot in all honesty, but it is what it is. All fighters go through it. I mean, you can't avoid father time, as they say, and it's another case like this. So it's Anders' time now. I think he does get the job done here against Machida, and he is somebody to watch out for at 185 pounds. He could be the dark horse of the division for sure. Anders is a talented fighter, and he's only going to improve. And a win over Machida is going to take his confidence to a whole other level. So keep an eye on Anders here.
And I know this is the main event, and you're expecting me to, you know, talk your ear off, but there's not a whole lot to say about this fight. It feels like Leona Machida is being fed to the next up-and-coming guy in the middleweight division. And that's because it's true. I mean, Machida's on a 3-fight losing streak, and he's taking on somebody that's never been defeated. So it definitely is like a changing of the guard type fight. Now, Machida could still win this fight. I mean, he has the skills. He still has, you know, that wonky karate style that's difficult for a lot of fighters to adjust to. The problem though is he has no chin at this point in his career, and he's not able to dodge, attacks like he used to. I mean, he always had that first step backwards, and then he could explode forward the second his opponent was kind of recoiling from their own striking attempt. And he just doesn't quite have that speed or the reflexes that he used to. He's not able to dodge the attacks like he used to. I mean, just look against Derek Brunson. You saw recently that Brunson just got completely dominated again by Jacare, somebody that is still fighting very well at his peak as he ages, but Machida has not aged well. I mean, he had the USADA suspension. He's been stopped, and he hasn't just lost 3 straight fights. He's been finished brutally in 3 straight fights. And then in Machida's last fight, and it was against Brunson, he just was not able to avoid the power of somebody that he should have been able to eat for lunch a couple years ago when he was at his peak. So against somebody like Anders that has power and has athleticism and speed and youth on his side, I think Machida could be in some big trouble here. So, you know, Eric Anders is dangerous. And he's capable, and he's picked up quality wins already in his UFC run. He basically retired Rafael Nadal in his UFC debut. And then in his last fight, he took on a pretty game guy that was in Marcus Perez, that I think was the reigning LFA middleweight champion. And he was able to win a one-sided unanimous decision there. So against Machida, I think as long as Anders puts on the pressure against him, it might just be a matter of time before he lands something significant and puts him away. Machida still is dangerous, and he might be able to, you know, pull out some old tricks. But I think for the most part, what likely happens here is Anders just puts the pressure on Machida, backs him up, puts him in a position where he's not able to dodge or get away from his own, from Anders' power, and Anders connects with something and Machida goes out. Because, Machida, just the room for error is so small now, with Machida, because he just cannot get hit. Because if he does get hit, he's in trouble. And against a guy like Anders that has some good power, I think Machida could be in some, could be in for a really rough night. I'll be rooting for him. Machida is a great fighter that I've always been a fan of, but, I think at yeah, 39 years old, it might be time to call it quits. So my pick is going to be Eric Anders, although you never know, Machida might be able to pull something out. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC Fight Night 125. Now, our premium bets for the event will be released this Friday following the weigh-in, so stay tuned for that if you're an MMA Oddsbreaker premium member. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMA OB Premium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAOddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to our sponsor, Five Dime Sportsbook. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.